I'm not sure when Passover is this year for the Jews, but I do know it has something to do with the phases of the moon. So let's start with the moon. Some of you probably saw last night, big moon. After the Stations of the Cross, we were all out admiring it, very beautiful moon, and it looked almost full. So it seems as if the full moon must be tonight, because it was almost full yesterday. But if full moon is tonight, and if Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the equinox, that would make tomorrow Easter, and it's not. So what happened? I had to look this up, find out, why isn't Easter tomorrow instead of, why is it next Sunday? And it turns out that the full moon, which is the precise moment when the Earth and the Moon are opposite each other, I mean when the Sun and the Moon are opposite each other, that's going to take place at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning here in the Philippines, 8 o'clock in the morning, so it'll be Sunday. In the Holy Land, it will be early, it'll be right after midnight, or maybe 1 in the morning, I can't remember. So it will still be Sunday. So if the full moon is on Sunday, Easter is the following Sunday. In the Western countries where the full moon will be Saturday night, it'll be more confusing to them. So in the United States, the full moon will be at 8 p.m. on Saturday. But if they follow the liturgical calendar, Saturday evening is already Sunday, right? So Sunday, Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the equinox. So that's where we are. Okay, you have to love the moon. I mean, you have to follow the phases of the moon. And enjoy the moon tonight. It'll come up looking very full. Well, our theme for today is not about the moon, but it is about the Passover. Here's the theme you see on the song sheet. God gathers his children into one nation. God gathers his children into one nation. To understand this theme, we have to start with what the Jews understood as the nation. In fact, this is what most people understand all the time. The country, the civilly organized group around within a certain boundary. So for the Jews, it was Israel. It was the Holy Land. It was the Promised Land. We hear in today's first reading a prophecy from Ezekiel that the chosen people are going to be gathered again into their own land. Why is the prophet saying that? Because the people have been scattered. The nation, the one nation of God, has been divided. You probably know some of the history. After a certain time, after Solomon, King Solomon, the nation was divided between Israel and Judah, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. And then both of those kingdoms eventually were overrun by the Babylonians, and the people were either exiled, or they fled, or they may have remained somewhere in the area. But the people of God, the chosen people of God, were scattered all over the place. And so the prophecy is, it won't be like that forever. God didn't intend his people to be scattered. He intends them to be gathered into one nation. And that's what the prophet says. I will take the children of Israel from among the nations to which they have come and gather them from all sides to bring them back to their land. I will make them one nation upon the land. So it's a great prophecy of uniting all the people into one nation. Now the Israelites considered that one nation to be Israel and all the other nations to be excluded from the plan of God. And generally that's what they thought, although the prophets sometimes indicated that other nations too were included in God's plan. And that's certainly the case. It's hard to get that though, because we're very much attached to our idea of a nation. And you see this in our times as well. And you see it in the rise of every powerful empire. Whenever there's an empire, the emperor or the king or the president or whoever, prime minister, seems to think that he should rule the whole world. This creeps into the mind of all powerful people. And this is certainly what was happening in the days of Jesus. The Roman Empire was dominating most of the known world. And the Romans thought that's how it's supposed to be. Everybody is going to be united, meaning they're all going to belong to this one nation, Rome. But you see this happening all the time, this conflict that we are praying about in the Holy Land between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Well, the Palestinians think that it should all be Palestine, no Israelis. At least that's the attitude of the Hamas. Now, wipe out all the Jews, wipe out all the Israelis, and this should be Palestine, from the river to the sea, is their expression, from the river to the sea. Well, the Jews, or at least the more militant Israelis, they think just the opposite. It should be all Israel, no Palestinians. Get rid of them all. So that's why there's no peace, because two sides both think that they have, that the one nation has to be their one nation. See something similar in Ukraine. If you ask Putin, how much of Ukraine do you think should belong to Russia? He says, all of it. It's all Russian. It's already Russian. We're just trying to get it back. If you ask the Ukrainians, how much of Ukraine should belong to Russia? They say, none of it. Give it all back to us. That's why they can't find peace, because they're working with the idea of one nation, their own, and other nations have to be submissive to them. I just read an article last night about the President Trump wanting to take over Greenland. I don't know what he has in his mind, but he certainly thinks he has a right to Greenland of all places. It's the same mentality. Powerful people think that the one nation should be their own nation and it should dominate the world. Is that God's plan? No. It's true he wants to gather all his people into one nation. But God does not have in mind one particular civic organization within a certain boundaries. He wants to gather all his people, meaning all people who are willing to be his people, into one nation, meaning the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the body of Christ, the church. It's not a country in the way we normally think of it. It's a united people. And this has always been the plan of God, and it still is. Now, when we turn to the gospel, we can see the question about who's going to be in charge is on the minds of the people. When Jesus is getting more and more popular and people are starting to believe in him, some people say this is great. Here's the one who will unite our nation. Others are saying, wait a minute, if this man Jesus gets too popular, the Romans won't like it, and they're going to come and destroy our nation. So the tension that is focused on Jesus is also a political tension. Is he going to be the source of winning against Rome, or is he going to be the catalyst for destruction by Rome? That's what they're arguing about here. At the end of today's gospel, this loaded question comes up. Passover is near. Probably it was a full moon already. Passover was near. The Jews all knew it, and they were going to Jerusalem. And the question is, what about Jesus? What do you think? That he will not come to the feast? Will Jesus come to the feast? Will he hide himself as he's been doing on and off because his hour had not yet come? Or will he show up and then show himself the dominant figure? Or will he show up and be arrested and killed? They don't know. We know how the story goes. Not only will he come up for the feast, he's waiting exactly for this moment. This is the one feast he's been preparing for his whole life. This Passover, you could even say, he himself is the feast. He himself is the Passover lamb. And he's waiting for his hour. His hour is coming up this week. Will he come up for the feast? We'll see this tomorrow, right? Palm Sunday. Not only will he come, he will make a big display of himself entering into Jerusalem. A big procession. People waving palms, people putting their cloaks on the road. He comes as a king, a humble king, not on a horse. But he comes as a king, very public, a very public display. And people will hail him. Hail, Hosanna. If you get a chance to join a Palm Sunday procession, do it. It's a good way to enter into Holy Week here in this parish. It will actually be this afternoon or this evening, I think at 5 or 5:30. Anyway, it's before the anticipated Mass. If you're in Christ the King, I think the procession is at 6:45?
Seven.
So, Palm Sunday procession. Join the procession and hail the arrival of the King. He has come for the feast. What is he going to do? Well, this is how we get to the theme of today's Mass. God gathers his children into one nation. Not one nation, Rome, not one nation, Russia, United States, China, or any other world power, no. This is what the prophecy of Caiaphas is. What Caiaphas thinks, Jesus has to be killed to save the nation, meaning so that it won't be overcome by Rome. But the prophetic meaning of his statement, much deeper than he has in mind, much better than he has in mind, because his idea is an evil idea, but God has something good in mind. See how God always brings good out of evil? God has in mind not only that Jesus is going to die for the nation. Caiaphas prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, but not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God. Gather into one the dispersed children of God, which the Jews understood to mean themselves, but we understand to mean all the children of God, all gathered into one people. This is the reason why Jesus is coming up for the feast. This is why he takes on the role of the Passover lamb in order to unite or reunite all people with God, to reconcile us with the Father, to set us free from slavery to sin. This is the great work of Jesus, and this is why he wants to come for this feast. It's why we want to celebrate Holy Week. This is the best time of the year, the holiest time of the year. If you look at the song sheet, you see a symbolic representation of what's going on here. Jesus stretching his arms from one side of the abyss to the other. You know, he's bridging this chasm, this canyon. And that's like the gap that exists between man and God, the rift that's caused by sin, separation caused by sin. How can sinners ever be reunited with God? How can people of earth ever enter into heaven? How can this gap be bridged? Well, Jesus is the bridge. Here he is, the bridge. You can see his arms stretched from one side to the other, and everybody's crossing over the bridge. So they're crossing over into the promised land, that is, into eternal life. All people who are willing to cross, all people who are willing to be his followers, to put their faith in him, because he's the bridge. He's the feast. He's the lamb. He's the sacrifice. He's the key to the whole reconciliation of man with God. So that's why that image is appropriate for this theme. God gathers his children into one nation. That's certainly what Jesus is doing. What are we doing? Do we want to belong to the one nation that is being gathered by Jesus? This is the question in Holy Week. Are we going to belong to the crowd that hails Jesus as the King, the Son of David, Hosanna to the Son of David? Or are we going to belong to the crowd that demands his crucifixion? Are we going to welcome the King, or are we going to reject the King? Are we going to enter into the one nation, or are we going to oppose his reign so that some earthly or human power that we cling to can remain? It's a conscience question. Very good for us to stop before Holy Week begins and say, where do we belong here? What will we do? How will we participate in this work of Jesus gathering his children into one nation? We make the decision today and every day to follow the Lord. to say yes to the word of God, to be part of, to participate in his work of gathering all people and reconciling them with the Father. If we oppose it, God doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. He's going to lay down his life whether we want him to or not. Right? He's going to do the great work of reconciliation whether we gain the benefit of it or not. But we have to make the decision to say yes. Yes, Lord, your will be done. Yes, your work of gathering your children into one nation. Let me be one of your children. Let us all be members of your family.